In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the only true and living God. Amen. One of Dr. Martin Luther's favorite sayings is this: when God gets ready to do an impossible task, he takes an impossible man and crushes him. Such an impossible man was Saul of Tarsus, whom we know better as Paul the Apostle. But Jesus came into Saul's life like a bolt of lightning to knock him off the back of his horse. He landed on his duff, humble and blind. It took such bold action to divert Saul from his sincerely wrong ways. For Saul was on his way to Damascus as an official of the Jerusalem synagogue with papers that would allow him to bring back to Jerusalem any in Damascus who were followers of Jesus. Finding himself crushed and blind, Saul was converted not by his own will, but by the power of God in Christ. Another of my favorite Dr. Martin Luther sayings is this: God creates out of nothing. Therefore, when God wants to make something of a man, he must first make nothing of him. Saul sincerely and wrongly believed that he was doing God's will as a Pharisee. Jesus' appearance in Saul's life showed him the way, the truth, and the life. First by the law that knocked him off his horse, then by the gospel that forgave him of his sins and showed him his Savior. After seeing the bright light, hearing Jesus' voice, and landing on the ground, Saul addressed Jesus by saying, "Who are you, Lord?" And he received an answer, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But arise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." So, after crushing Saul, the Lord made nothing of Paul. Paul was completely passive as he was converted. Christ converted Saul by giving him faith in him, Jesus, as Lord. Then Saul was baptized. His new life as Paul had begun. He was nothing. He was nothing except the property of the Lord Jesus. At times, Paul even called himself a bondservant, Jesus' bondservant, even a slave of Christ. He had lost his status in Jewish culture. He became an enemy of the Pharisees and Jews, the very people who formerly held him in such high regard. Then Jesus instantly became Saul's Lord, and we see that Paul became even more sincere and devout as a Christian than he was as Saul, a sincere and devout persecutor of Christians. And it is very significant, I believe, on Maundy Thursday, that the fourth account of the words of institution of the Lord's Supper that you just heard, found in 1 Corinthians, are given to us. These words of institution are given to us by Paul, the apostle sent to the Gentiles, which includes us, by the way. We are Gentiles. In 1 Corinthians 11, we again see the sincerity and devoutness of Paul as he instructs the Corinthians and us in the proper use of the Lord's Supper. The first instruction Paul gives is that we should be united in faith when we come to the Lord's table. There should be no divisions among us. Secondly, we should not eat separately, but together. This is a meal to be shared in a united community of faith. Thirdly, one should not have more to eat or drink than others. The people, if hungry, should eat at home before they come to the Lord's table. Then we should not get drunk at the Lord's table, but be fully aware of and respectful of the holy things that we are eating and drinking. And finally, we should discern that the holy body and holy blood of our Lord Jesus are truly present. Not just spiritually, but physically as well. Those who do not discern the holy body and blood of the Lord should not participate in the meal. Paul tells us that he did not make these things up himself. He's simply passing on what he himself was given by the Lord. By the Lord. Though like Luke, Dr. Luke, Paul was not present at the first Lord's Supper on the night when he was betrayed, tradition has it that Paul trained for 3 years in the desert with the Lord Jesus after his conversion before he began his ministry. We don't get that from the scriptures, but from tradition and other writings, we get that information. And it seems reasonable. Jesus trained the 11 or the 12 for 3 years. And then when he took Paul and made him his apostle to be sent to the Gentiles, he would train him in a like manner for about 3 years. And Paul uses the exact same words that the apostles Matthew and Mark and Dr. Luke use in their gospel as the words of institution. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Paul was very sincere about these words from his Lord Jesus. He did not want them to be taken lightly. And he tells us, let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And the thing is, the point of this sermon is that if there is anyone who knew what it meant to come under the judgment of the Lord Jesus, it was Paul. When Paul warned of the judgment of the Lord, he knew what he was talking about, because he would never forget being crushed and made into nothing by the judgment of the Lord when he was knocked off the back of a horse, made blind. It hurt. It hurt. It did not feel good at all. Being crushed and made into nothing hurts. No way around it. And he did not want others to fall under the painful discipline of the Lord for not discerning and respecting the holy body and holy blood of the Lord Jesus. So on this Maundy Thursday, Maundy meaning a mandate or command, when most of Christendom regards this mandate to be Christ's mandate to wash each other's feet in service and humility on Maundy Thursday, that's what most people think about when they think of the word Maundy. I suggest to you that the more important mandate or command of Christ made on the night when he was betrayed involved the eating of his holy body and the drinking of his holy blood in his holy supper. Sad to say, but the word holy is largely lost on even Christendom today. That is why so many regard foot washing, only given to us in Scripture one time as found in John 13, as more of a mandate than the mandate to do this, given to us four times in the Lord's Supper, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 1 Corinthians. In the words, do this, we have a mandate or command given to us who believe in Jesus as Lord and God. Those who believe should do this and do it often. On Maundy Thursday, and on all days, the mandate for us is to do the things Jesus has commanded for us to do and taught us to do. In Christ's words of institution, he gives us the word do this twice. He has given us glorious words that lead us to forgiveness of sins and strengthening of faith. Do this. Do this. And when we do these things, we know that he is with us. Thanks be to God for this holy meal given to us by our Lord Jesus, the Son of the only true and living God. May we do this often, always remembering Christ's death until he comes again. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand now for the offertory.